Okay, fun seekers, we're going to embark upon the overview of the investment universe. And look, folks, there's an awful lot of material here that's been shoved into just a few slides. So don't fret. Don't think you have to understand everything there is about these major investment alternatives. All you have to understand is what we discuss here. And then we're going to take a look at each in detail later on. So think about it as if we're flying way over the landscape and looking down upon the different cities or whatever. Because we have an entire class, folks, Introduction to Investments, that is dedicated to learning these investment alternatives. And what we find, if we get involved in the investment world, is that it's a lifelong learning opportunity. One of the most wonderful things about the investment world, in my humble opinion, is that you never stop learning. You never. There's always something else, always some other types of investments, opportunities, strategies, and the like, you can join certain organizations that are dedicated to this, or you can ignore it after you learn what you've learned here and just stick with the one investment alternative that works the best for the vast majority of us. So stay with us. On this slide 13, we've filled it up with the most important investment alternatives. Stocks. Now, that's a horrible name. Why don't they call them companies or businesses? Or what they really are shares of a corporation. And why do you invest in stocks? Other than people jumping up and down, screaming and hollering, yeah, you're going to get rich, or you're going to get poor. Well, stocks offer us two wonderful things, dividends and capital gains. But you know what? Neither is guaranteed. We may get dividends, we might not get dividends. We might have gotten dividends for the last 30, 40 years, and then the company decides they're not going to pay dividends, and that's their prerogative. And if the company does well, if the business does well, if their products are popular, if they invest in new technologies, they go to new markets, the company should grow and the stock price should go up. You don't know if that's going to happen, right? That's why they call it the future. But what we find is that stocks have, of the major alternatives, given us the best return over time. I like to tell people 8, 9, 10%. Actually, some have done a lot better. Some have done a whole lot worse. So what we have to realize when we invest in stocks is that these are long-term investments. They are not something that we buy and sell and buy and sell. Now, some people do, but they're not investors. They're speculators. They're traders. And, you know, I wish them a lot of luck because they're going to need it. It is very difficult. You're up against the best in the world, folks, who have resources that you can't even begin to imagine. Which is why we say stocks, for the vast majority of us, are long-term investments. Bonds, on the other hand, again, another unfortunate term. No, not James Bond. No, loans. Loans. That's what they really should be called, because that's what they are. They're kind of like mortgages, but not for houses. They're mortgages for businesses, corporations, or state and local governments, or the federal government. And there's a whole lot more zeros after the numbers than our credit cards or our car loans or our mortgages. But just like when you go to a bank and borrow money, when you buy a bond, when you invest in a bond, the bond issuer, the entity that made the loan, the corporation, the state and local government, the school district. I mean, think about it, folks. We didn't hold a bake sale to build that stadium out there. You know, we had to borrow the money. So we went to investors all around the country, and I guess some people outside the country, but mostly inside the country, and we borrowed the money, and now we have to pay, Southwestern has to pay interest and principal, just like when we go to a bank and make a loan, we have to pay interest and principal. So if we buy bonds, if we invest in bonds, we're going to get paid that interest and principal. And bonds, loans, are far riskier than stocks, companies, corporations. But guess what? If you want lower risk, you're going to get lower returns. And bonds over the long term have done 2, 3, 4, some have done 5, 6, 7%, kind of like mortgages. For a while there, they were paying 6, 7, 8%, just like mortgages from the 1960s and 70s and 80s. And then bonds started paying less and less and less and less until finally they were paying almost like, you know, nothing. And now this past year, bond prices have fallen. Interest rates have risen. Huh? We'll discuss that when we get the bonds in detail. And so now you can get 3, 4, 5% from a bond. Not exciting, no, but reliable, unlike stocks. The next category is euphemistically, which is a fancy way of saying that's the nickname, called cash. The real name is short-term investments, short-term vehicles, short-term instruments. These things are guaranteed, or pretty darn close. I mean, they might as well be guaranteed. Safety of principal. You know you're going to get your interest. You know you're going to get your principal back. And if you've been paying attention, lower risk. See, bonds are not guaranteed. I mean, they're pretty darn, very rarely do they default. But sometimes people don't pay their car loans, right? Sometimes people don't pay their mortgages. And very rarely, sometimes corporations don't pay their debts. They go into bankruptcy. It happens very less frequently in school districts and cities and states and water authorities, but it happens. The federal government has never defaulted, and I don't think it ever will, at least in our lifetime. But cash instruments, short-term instruments, cash investments are guaranteed. They're backed by the federal government or an agency of the federal government. You might remember when you were in looking around your bank and credit union research, FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, NCUA, National Credit Union Association. These are entities, they're basically insurance funds, that if a bank goes under, you're going to get your money back. Yeah. So those are the big three financial investments. This fourth one, notice there's a line through it. Annuities. Annuities, it's a very unfortunate term because annuity is just pure annuity is just a stream of cash. That's all it is, a stream of payments or a stream of investments. That's all it is. But annuity is also an insurance product. And that's when people talk about it, annuity investments, you're talking about insurance products. And these things are horrible, awful, disgusting, puke, garbage. They just make me ill to my stomach. Now, remember, I'm an insurance agent, so I could sell these things. And actually, folks, since interest rates have been rising, they've gotten a little better, but not much. And there are people who make a living off of trashing these things. One guy named Ken Fisher got this gravelly voice, and he says, "I hate annuities, and you should too." Notice we have Bohica. That's pretty much the case with all insurance companies, folks. Keep your back to the wall, because here it comes again. So we'll discuss annuities in detail later on. Not in that much detail, but we'll discuss them later on and tell you why you should stay basically away from them. And then, you know, you decide. It's your money. Now, the fourth investment alternative is real estate. Real estate is a world unto itself, folks. It's a big world unto itself, and it can be very lucrative, but it's not easy, folks. It's just not. It can destroy people, and it does. We get rent, and we hope to get capital gains. And notice that real estate has not done as well as stocks over the long term. Now, I can already hear and see the real estate agents jumping up and down and screaming and hollering and saying, "Mr. Pagnotto is not accurately discussing the difference between financial investments like stocks and real estate." And they're right. That 7 to 8% is misleading. And the reason is because of the way we invest in stock, the way we invest in real estate as opposed to investing in stocks. So we're not going to get into that detail now. Later on, yes. But just realize that real estate, even though there are plenty of television programs about people flipping real estate, Real estate, like stocks, should be considered a long-term investment. It's not something to be thought of lightly because it'll eat you alive. But at the same time, people have done very, very well with real estate, folks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to dissuade you. We just want you to have your eyes wide open when you make your choices. And then we'll discuss some other investment alternatives that I hope you will avoid, unless you know exactly what you're doing or are you willing to lose a good chunk of your money or preferably both. Derivatives. What are these things? Options, futures, swaps. Not swap meet, swaps. Hard assets, huh? Precious metals, art and collectibles, starting a business. You know, everyone's not the same, and these things might work for you, but I'm going to do my best to convince you to stay away from them. And then, you know, if you want to put aside a little bit of money that you know you don't mind losing, have at it. Okay, so what is your choice? Now, you might want to go, you know, rewind and go over that again, because remember, stocks, corporations, bonds, loans, cash, savings accounts, other things that are guaranteed, real estate, houses, duplexes, hotels, warehouses, shopping centers. Oh my goodness, the choices are endless. So what is your choice? If your choice for investment, if your goal is long-term, for example, retirement, right? Or maybe buying a house in 10 years or whatever, then my choice is high-quality stocks. Although some people prefer bonds because they are less risky than stocks. If the goal is intermediate term, meaning 3, 4, 5 years, bonds or REITs. What's a REIT? That stands for Real Estate Investment Trust. It's a way to be a real estate investor without being a landlord and having to come up with a ton of money and a ton of expertise and a ton of stomach aches. If the goal is short term, you need this money in 6 months, a year, maybe even 2 years, you have no choice but to use a guaranteed short term cash investment such as a savings account or a certificate of deposit or a money market account. Although bonds close to maturity actually could work, the others never make sense except for a small percentage of the population. So stay away from the others. Great! I'm buying stocks and bonds. How do I get started? Well, actually, you don't buy the stocks and bonds, that is. For the vast majority of people, and again, nothing's absolute, but the vast majority of us working grunts, the best investments are mutual funds that buy the stocks and bonds for them. You get two wonderful things: professional money management and diversification. There are people whose job it is, and some of them are very good and some of them are not so good, like any profession, whose job it is to go out and knock on the door of Ford and knock on the doors of GM and Honda and Toyota and say, you know, I'm going to buy this company, I'm not going to buy that company, I'm not going to buy that company. And they buy several companies, not just a 3 or 4 or 5 or 10, which is, you know, pretty much an individual 10 to 20. You've heard people have more than 20. It's hard to believe they're actually keeping track of them. They're probably just buying them and forgetting about them. And that's the worst thing, not the worst thing to do, but it's not a good thing to do if you're going to buy individual stocks. So we buy these mutual funds that do the investing for us. But wait a minute, you got me all excited about buying stocks and bonds all by myself. Besides, in their commercials on TV, E-Trade and Robinhood show everyday hardworking Americans just like me happily and profitably buying and selling stocks all the time. Does E-Trade still have that baby commercial? They had the baby commercial. Baby was had a laptop. No, baby had a tablet. Baby was stupid. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you have the discipline, courage, and brains to buy when everyone else is selling and sell when everyone else is buying? Huh? Yeah, folks, 100,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, when you saw a bunch of people run a certain way, you ran that way. Why? Because if you didn't, you're the one that got eaten by the tiger. But it's not, it's a different world now. If you see a bunch of people all buying this investment, that's usually a bad sign. time. That's usually when you want to go the other way. Do you have a strong background in finance, business, marketing, economics, politics, and history? Are you part of a global research team stationed all around the world? Because the world is global, folks. You ever heard of Coca-Cola? Sure you have. It's based in Atlanta. It's an American company. Guess what? They make 80% of their money outside the United States. If every United Stater right now stopped drinking Coca-Cola and they don't sell another dime's worth of Coca-Cola in the United States, they'd still be a large, multinational, global corporation. Do you have the time and resources to visit in person the companies you intend to invest in, plus their customers, importantly, their competitors and their suppliers? Do you have enough money to buy at least 20 or more stocks representing various sectors of the economy? Because you're going to need healthcare, you're going to need energy, you're going to need technology, basic materials, consumer staples. Most importantly, do you have a knack or intuition for recognizing unrecognized value? Any idiot can buy the world's largest retailer. Who's the world's largest retailer? Yeah, Walmart. Right, okay. The trick was to buy Walmart before it was the world's largest retailer. And now you young folks, you're not going to believe me, but 50 years ago, who was the world's largest retailer? Take a guess. Kmart. You've heard of Kmart, haven't you? In fact, you might have even seen one before they all closed. That's why it's in red, and that's why it's in italics. Do you have a knack or intuition for recognizing unrecognized value? Your results, slide 17. If the answer to two or more of the previous questions is no, especially the last two, money enough for 20 stocks for diversification, and that intuitive eye for value, stay away from individual stocks. They will eat you alive. You will think you're doing great because everybody else is buying this company, and my goodness, the stock price keeps going up and up and up until it starts going down and down and down. Bonds are also difficult. Since bond traders usually deal in tens of thousands of dollars per trade, you can walk in with $1,000 to buy a bond. They go, go away, get out of here. Now, there's an exception. You can buy government bonds at a website called treasurydirect.gov, which has actually become very popular lately because of the savings I-bonds, which are paying pretty darn good, pretty darn well. And we discuss, in fact, this is one of the assignments in Introduction to Investments, Business 123, is to research treasurydirect.gov. If you did not answer yes to most all these questions, mutual funds are your best bet. And if it means anything to you, virtually all of my family's investments and my clients are in mutual funds. I certainly can't answer yes to all those questions. I didn't buy Walmart 40 years ago. I was one of those people, city dwellers, who said, what are they building a $100,000 square foot facility in Bentonville, Arkansas, or St. George, Utah? I mean, it just didn't make any sense. Well, Sam Wall was from a small city, and he knew that people in the rural parts of the country didn't think twice about driving 2 hours to go shopping. I mean, this is what you did. So he made those big out in the rural areas, and then it was only a matter of time before he could invade the cities. Yeah, very smart guy. So here it is, folks, mutual funds. Now, that term is the one you're going to hear, but it's not the legal term. I like the legal term much better. Investment company. You want shoes, you go to a shoe company. You want cars, you go to a car company. You want insurance, you go to an insurance company. You want investments, you go to an investment company. Don't go to an insurance company for your investments. And here's what they do. Here's how it works. Sorry, this mouse is very, very, very sensitive. And I actually had somebody in Spain, actually. He liked my work so much, he did make, I might change it. It's in the 123 class. He did one of these for me, which is a whole lot better looking. I should include it in this class. But I didn't ask him. I guess I have to ask him. Okay, but he just did it for, he did it because he liked, he thought what I did was, because remember, everything is free, folks. I'm not making, you know, I mean, Southwestern's paying me, but I don't charge to use my website. So here we are, we're the little people, and more of them are women. These are women. I make great stick figures, I think. And we give our $50, $100 to the people in the top hats. And luckily, more and more of them are women. Why? Because it's already been shown statistically that women are better investors than men. Come on, guys. You better be nice to the women because they're taking over and it's about time. So here we are. We're millions of these people. And you know what? Women, they're getting smart, folks. They see grandma who listened to grandpa who said, "Don't worry, little lady, I'll take care of everything." And he screwed up royally and then he died. And now grandma's is hurting, and the young women don't want to be like that. So we're giving our $50 or $100 a month or more, if we can afford it, to the people in the top hats, and they make this pool of money. Now, I know it kind of looks like a potato, my apologies, but it's meant to be a pool, and that's a mutual fund, an investment company. And these people, then, they go out and they research the stocks to buy. And that's a stock mutual fund. If they invest in bonds, if they research and buy bonds, that's a bond mutual fund. If they invest in the short-term cash instruments that we talked about, that's a money market mutual fund. And then we begin to see the explosion of different types of mutual funds when we discuss balanced mutual funds. But they've been around a long time. You invest in stocks and bonds, which is not a bad choice, which we'll see later on. So again, you get two wonderful advantages, professional money management and diversification. And now you're going to hear some people badmouth the professional money managers. And you know what? As I said, as we mentioned, some of them are pretty darn good and some of them are not so good. So our job as investors is to, if we're going to invest in mutual funds, find the good ones indeed. So how do I pick a mutual? Come on, Payana. Well, we'll just relax. Relax. Here's my advice for what it's worth. But again, realize that we're going to discuss each of these in detail over the next 4 weeks. Pick a mutual fund that invests in high quality stocks or bonds. Well, there's a word that's hard to pin down, quality. I know it when I see it. But once you've been initiated in investing, and we're going to, if you take Business 123, you'll see that there are all different types of companies, and some are more high quality than others, is diversified across several industries and sectors of the economy and countries of the world. Folks, I believe firmly in global investing. There are some people who say, no, just stick with the United States. It's big enough pond to fish in. But hey, sometimes the best companies are based in the United States. Sometimes they're based somewhere else. Has a long-term perspective and a manager, or better yet, a management team with many years of experience. What you want to do is avoid companies that shuffle their managers every few years like a deck of cards. Now, I have to take that, which is virtually all, I have to take that out. Take it out, Payano, because most mutual funds now have realized that that's not the best way to run a mutual fund. It used to be that way for many companies. They would just throw a newbie in, somebody right out of one of the best schools in the country, and say, "Here, kid, here's $1 billion. See what you can do with it." And if after 2 years they didn't do well, oh well, you're out. After 2 years, if they did do well, great. They get showered with love and attention and a whole lot more money. It's not the best way to invest, because it encourages people to take risky bets. And that's not what we want. I mean, some people like that. I wish them well. They'd probably better go to Vegas and have more fun. But we want somebody who's been around for decades and performed consistently well in both good and bad markets. Look, folks, don't tell me how well you've done, or don't tell me how well your investments have done in a good market. I ain't interested. Any idiot, your boy included, can do well when the markets are going up. It's when the markets go down that you show your mettle. M-E-T-T-L-E. There's a couple of sayings in the industry that people love to throw around. When the tide is rising, it lifts all boats. Right. So as long as the market's gone up, everybody looks like a genius. But when the tide goes out, you can see who is swimming naked. I love that. You can use it too. In other words, how did you do when the organic matter hit the ventilating device? Because history tells us it's going to happen. We don't know when. We don't know how. We didn't know some goofball in Russia was going to invade Ukraine and threaten the world with nuclear arms. My goodness, I'm not worried about the economy over the next several years. I mean, it's going to be bumpy, no doubt. I'm more worried about World War III, because then all bets are off. All bets are off, yeah. But luckily here in San Diego, I shouldn't go into this. I should be quiet, right? Luckily, San Diego, we will be vaporized quickly, so we won't have anything to worry about. So how do I purchase a mutual fund? See, it's all making sense, right? Normally a little bit at a time. Virtually all mutual funds will allow you to start an automatic investment plan with as little as $25 or $50 per month, either through your employer, 401k, 403b, or your checking or savings accounts, an IRA, traditional IRA, it's called Roth IRA. There are some mutual funds that want you to invest the $3,000 or $10,000 or $25,000. Those, you don't want those anyway. They're specialized funds. Stay away from them. So you see how we're coming back to full circle when we said a little money doesn't go out, great money cannot come in. Investing a fixed dollar amount, $100, $50 a month, whatever you can afford, periodically is called dollar cost averaging. And folks, this is a horrible term. I've tried, what happened to dollar cost? Here's dollar cost averaging. Okay, my apologies. Dollar cost averaging. You know, I've thought systematic investment plan, automatic investment plan, that sounds too clinical, but dollar cost averaging is a very powerful strategy, because what it does is it removes emotions from your investing. You don't have to ask, is now a good time to invest? Sure, you know, this month is a great time to invest. Next month is a great time to invest. The month after that. A system of buying an investment at regular intervals from with a fixed dollar amount. With dollar cost average, see, I had to convince, this is a long time ago, folks, when I first met my wife, she was terrified of stocks, and she's with good reason, a lot of people should be. Those students who come to our classes who are terrified, I feel much more comfortable with. I can help them. It's the students who are ready to buy and sell and make $1 million overnight. I say, I can't help you. My apologies. I'll do my best to explain to you that that's not how it works. Maybe for 0.0001% of people in the world, but they find out pretty quickly. After a few months, when they've lost $4,000 or something like that, they kind of go, okay, now let's take a look at the long-term investments. You see, with dollar cost, this is what I told my wife, with Anita, that's her name, Anita. With dollar cost averaging, there's always good news. The market's up, good news, yippee. Well, your $100 is now worth $100.20. Woo-hoo. The market's down, good news. What, huh? You see, it's like get the face-to-face students to yell out, huh, yippee. What? Wait a minute, how could the market being down mean good news? Folks, next month, you're going to get more shares at a lower price when the $50 or $100 comes out of your paycheck or checking account. When do you want to go to JCPoopies or Macy's? After they've raised the price 100%? After they've raised the prices 200%? Or after they've lowered the prices 50%? It's the same idea. But people, when the stock market goes up 100%, what do they say? Ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? Yeah. And then after it goes down 50%, oh, 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 is it too late to get out? Yeah. With dollar cost averaging, you never have to ask that question. Now, it's not a guarantee, folks. If you bought a horrible investment and you keep buying more and more shares and they keep going down and down and down, it's not going to guarantee you a capital gain. It's not going to guarantee that your investments are going to do well. But it makes investing easy. In fact, it makes investing boring, and that's what we want. In the investment world, boring is good. After you have built a solid foundation of high-quality stock and bond investments through mutual funds, go ahead, play the market. I hate that phrase. I used to call it my Vegas fund. I took a little bit of money and I bought some stocks that I knew were really, really risky. They were based here in San Diego, high-tech, biotech companies that could explode on the upside, and they all imploded on the downside. Take no more than 5 to 10% of your financial assets and choose your own stocks. Be prepared for volatility. Now, volatility is the investment world's euphemism, nickname for large losses. Buy a stock for $11.88 and sell it for 30 cents. Do you know anybody who's bought a stock for $11.88 and sold it for 30 cents? I do. I've known him all my life. He's a kind of goofy guy, teaches at Southwestern Finance. It was a great company here, folks. Here, based Alliance Pharmaceutical. They were making artificial blood. I mean, think about it. The blood banks are always screaming for more blood. And this was back in the late 1990s. And the blood banks are still calling for more blood because it didn't work. Yeah. I kept my Vegas fund to no more than 1% of our total portfolio, by the way. So I didn't lose that much money, but it's still, it's never fun to lose money. And with stocks, you can lose money very quickly if you roll the dice, if you buy very, very risky, volatile stocks. So now, hopefully you're kind of understanding that it doesn't have to be hard. In fact, if it is hard investing, we're probably doing it wrong. Go back over and study this because we're gonna hit you on these. And this next several slides is what we call checking for comprehension. The next several slides. And in the face-to-face class, we have these ABCD cards. And we ask people what they think. So study these, right? Because this is what the exam questions are going to look like. What are investment companies that pool investors' money and invest in a diversified portfolio of securities? That's a fancy word for stocks and bonds, financial investments. Investors get diversification and professional money management. Are these short-term securities, stocks, bonds, mutual funds? Mutual funds. Investment company is the legal term. Mutual fund is the term you're going to hear and see. So remember, pooled diversification, pooled investors' money, and a professional money management. What are investments that represent ownership in a corporation? Investors receive optionally dividends and capital gains or capital losses. Real estate, stocks, bonds, short-term securities, stocks. A very unfortunate term, but that's the term we deal with. I try to get people to think about the business, think about the corporation, think about the company. You are a part owner of that corporation. Very cool. If it does well, very sad if it doesn't do well. What are fixed income securities, fancy word for financial investments, that pay a fixed amount, that represent loans to corporations, municipalities, state and local governments, and agencies such as water authorities, school districts, and the federal government? Investors receive interest and a promise to repay the loans. Real estate, stocks, bonds, short-term securities, those are bonds. Bonds are fixed income investments because we know, assuming the entity doesn't go into bankruptcy, and that's very rare, but it happens, we're going to get our money back. We're going to get our interest and we're going to get our principal back. What are investments with very little risk and correspondingly very little return? They are usually guaranteed or pretty darn close. There is a huge opportunity cost if you leave your money here for the long term. What's that? Remember we talked about opportunity cost? If you need your money soon, you have to go with these kinds. But if you don't need your money soon, there are much better alternatives. There are much better opportunities. And these, of course, are short-term securities. Most people just refer to them as cash investments. Low risk, low return. Cool. You got it? Is it really that difficult? No, I don't think so. I think once investments are explained to people in a very cursory, meaning, you know, just the most important parts of them, then people, they get it. They understand, okay, now let's learn all the details. And the details are enormous, right? Because it's a huge industry. But if we start from the overview of the universe, it's much easier to, I think, I've been teaching this for a while now, and all the materials freely available at Business 123 Introduction to Investments. And hopefully next semester I'll be teaching it again. We'll see what happens. So what are reasonable expectations? When we ask people to think about reasonable expectations from stocks, what should we expect to hear from them? Well, we should expect people to think in terms of 8, 9, 10%. Some stocks have done better, some have done a whole lot worse. That's why we're willing to take the risk of stocks, because we're going to get a better return unless the world ends. How about bonds? Well, we're going to get a less return than stocks, but better than short-term securities, 2, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6%. What about short-term securities? Well, 1, 2, some of them used to pay 3, 4, or 5%, but not lately. They're going back up, though. We might see short-term securities, savings accounts, starting to pay 3 or 4 or 5% in the next year or so. We'll see. Real estate, again, the real estate investors are jumping up and down saying, don't believe Payano, he's all wrong. Well, 7 to 8% with a caveat saying that it's actually a whole lot more depending on how we invest in real estate. And mutual funds, well, we don't know, because we it depends on what the mutual fund invests in. If the mutual fund invests in stocks, it's going to do 8, 9, 10%. If it invests in bonds, it's going to do 2, 3, 4%. If it invests in short-term securities, it's going to do 1 or 2% maybe. And what about the others? Well, it's negative. We don't know what. We don't know how much we're going to lose, but we pretty much are sure we're going to lose. Maybe you're not. And so, let's end with coming attractions. This chapter actually has no assignment attached to it. Just make sure you've gone through it, because this is the foundation, the fundamentals of investing. But over the next 4 weeks, we're going to discuss stocks, exciting stocks, sexy stocks, risky stocks. And then we're going to talk about bonds. Stodgy bonds. Boring bonds, reliable bonds. And then we'll find that we're not going to invest in either of these individually. The vast majority of us are going to use mutual funds, investments for the masses. Remember, we legal term investment company, to buy our stocks and bonds. And then we'll take a look, quick look at real estate, folks. Real estate is a whole world unto itself. And some of the other investment alternatives, because, you know, everyone's not the same. If this material piques your interest, dear students, please, please consider taking Business 123 Introduction to Investments. There is a future for you in the financial and investment services industry. I guarantee it. The industry is huge, and there's a bunch of us all white guys all ready to retire or die. And they need more women, they need more minorities, they need more bilingual, they love ex-military. So think about it. And remember, folks, you don't have to take the class. It's all available on my website, wonderprofessor.com, for free. And the spring 2022 class is there. And hopefully we'll find out if I'm teaching it in 2023, in spring 2023. So we'll see. See you in our next presentation, when we then drill down and take a much closer look at stocks, realizing that in the 123 class, we spend 6 weeks and then some on stocks alone. So we're not going to get into it in very much detail. But you're going to see that it's exciting. I think very exciting, sexy. Risky. See you in our next chapter, on when we learn about investing in stocks.